because it's like a sun that's coming in. And I'd like to see you. You know, it makes a big difference to see what you, who you're talking to. It makes a big difference. But in our normal life, we have things that makes us you can come over. Come, don't stay outside. Come, come. I could wait for a few minutes, it's okay. If we need to wait for a few minutes, it doesn't matter for me. It's okay. Taste something nice, you enjoy it. And this is comes in the level of sensuality. Because it comes and you enjoy it, definitely. But it comes for a very short period and it ends and it doesn't continue. And then there is what is there is something that makes you happy, then you are happy for also a longer period in the psyche, but it ends as well. So, but it needs always something to happen to make you happy. So it's always something happening. You need something. And this is, you keep on trying to make something happen in your life to make you happy, and this you go for entertainment and to just enjoy a little bit of laughter, and after a while, it finishes, ends. But the joy that we're talking about is something that will remain, will stay in you. And this you need to acquire in your life. It's a sort of contentment. You are content of what you have. The content of what you are, of who you are. And this is a completely different thing. And now we will talk, we continue to talk. We take three examples from the Bible, and then we see what actually made this person happy. I'll take Daniel, the first one. You think that Daniel was very happy, or was rejoicing of his life? His life was good? Do you think that he was good? I think so. He lived a very good life, with real experience, with some challenges, but also with some victory. At the time of Daniel, the king, they were, Daniel was a foreigner in a country that's not his, a new language, a different language, different culture, different everything. And the king of Persia decided to make a new organization in his empire. So he started to reorganize his empire, so he divided it his empire into 120 districts, and he appointed one ruler for every district. Just we have technical problems, that's all. So we'll keep on stopping. Because most of the people are still coming. So he divided his kingdom into 120 districts and put one on top of every district. And over the 120 persons, he has chosen three persons, and the three persons will be on top of the 120. One of them was Daniel. And then the king started to think, that's not a good organization. I wanted to put one on top of all these people, on top of the three. And then he started to think, yes, I will take Daniel. Do you think if we stop here with all this great success that Daniel had, number two in the kingdom, you think that he was very happy with that? It was not mentioned actually that he was happy, he was rejoicing. It didn't make a big difference for him to become in this position. But the rest of the story will show us where is he actually rejoicing. He started to the 120 and the other two was so jealous, and they started to plot against Daniel, and they didn't attack him first of all, like straight. They went behind and they started to go to the king and say, Your Majesty, live. Now we want to make a new decree. That every person will ask something from a king or a god, except you, for 30 days, you will have to put him to death, will be put to the lions to eat. The king was so happy that he will make a decree like that, and he signed for that. For Daniel, when he heard this challenge, it was a big challenge for him. How come he will not pray? How come he will not ask for God, his God? But he didn't do anything. Daniel was so confident in who he is. Daniel went straight back to his room where he used to pray, and he opened the windows. And openly started to pray as normal as he used to do every day. He did not change his behavior, and he was not disturbed by the new decree. And this is here is one of the signs that he was content with what he's doing. He was really confident what he's doing. He went as normal, like the Bible was saying, he went as normal as every day. He opened his windows and he prayed to God 3 times a day as he used to do. The end of the story continued, and the man was not disturbed, but the others was. The 120 and the other two on top of them went to the king and said, "May your majesty live. Now, we have made a decree, and what do you think that Daniel, the one you wanted to appoint on top of everything, he is the one who is breaking the law. And now, you put him to death." And imagine Daniel, and everyone is coming to arrest him, and they are taking him to the den of lions, and on top of all this, the king was not happy, but still he had to do what he had to do. Freeze this scenery and look at yourself. If you were in this position, do you think you would be content? Do you think you would be joyful and rejoicing in this moment? If everybody around you is plotting against you, and if everybody around you is putting the blame on you, you will not be put in the den of lions. You will not, they will not kill you, but they kill your dignity, they kill your morals, they kill your personality, and you see that everybody is just attacking you because you're different. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for Christians to be different and dare to be different and at the same time rejoicing. That did something really strong in your life. Until now, when we are in this story of Daniel and seeing Daniel is actually arrested and he has been driven to be put in the den of lions, and if you are stopping just on the door or in the opening of this lion place and see and ask, are you rejoicing, Daniel? Are you happy now? You could have just listened to the king and you could have saved your life. You could have done. This is the challenges that we Christians are facing every day. And this is the challenge for you rejoicing every day. And the contentment inside you is every moment is broken because someone is challenging you and saying, do this. You could have done that. You could have come with us. We had a great time. And this is actually what makes a difference here. But look, the real rejoice happened after. Daniel was put to the lion to be eaten. But the angel of God saved him. God sent his angel to save Daniel. And Daniel was sitting there with the lions, rejoicing. Praise the Lord. And the more that happened, that it makes it much more rejoicing, that the king himself couldn't sleep the whole night. He came early in the morning, he took his advisors with him, went to the place, and he's calling, Daniel, Daniel, are you there? Could your God save you? With a weak voice, the king is calling Daniel. And with a strong voice, Daniel is replying, yes, Majesty, my God sent his angel. What? And here is the rejoicing. The king starts to be transformed as well. The king was changed. And instead of putting the creed that no one will ask anything, a god or a person, to ask anything except from him, he himself, he made another decree and said that, let the God of Daniel be glorified everywhere in the empire. Let the God of Daniel be fearful everywhere in the empire. See, everyone was so much benefiting from one person, was Daniel. This is the real joy, because now you're declaring yourself, you're declaring your faith, you're declaring your God openly in front of everyone, in spite of all the challenges that you are facing. This is a rejoice, and that means that the change, the transformation of this whole empire became out of one faithful person. The whole empire of this king was persecuting the people of God. They were persecuting anyone to call a god except the king. And now they are praising the God of Daniel. See the change. And this is the joy. I think here is one very important thing that we learn from Daniel. If you are faithful, you will be able to extend something very important to everyone around you, and you give them salvation. We are rejoicing when God's name is glorified. We're rejoicing when you lift the name of Christ up high. It's not yours. But then, do you think that Daniel was rejoicing in the first place more or after he came out of the den of lions? Everybody was praising Daniel as well, because God is always giving you, yourself, as well, the joy and the glory as you are lifting his name up. Everybody was praising the God of Daniel, but also everybody was praising Daniel himself. You will rejoice with God if you lift his name up. We are rejoicing because the power of God is in our sight. Most of the time, we are fearful. Most of the time, we are weak. You know why we are weak? Because we always depend on ourselves. A very little mathematics. One is your power. Collect as much people as you can in your sight. You will collect 100 or 20 million, 2 million. You will collect the whole country in your sight. The whole world. 5 billion. But this is your power. But if you are one, multiplied by infinity, your power becomes infinity. And this is the power of God. It's yours. And this is, you need to understand and to put in your mind, we rejoice God's power in us, with us, for us, but for his glory, not for ours. So the first thing, we rejoice God's power in us, for us. Take another story. Everybody's hungry. Everybody is facing this problem. It's becoming expensive. Everything is becoming expensive. And and everything is disappearing. There's no food. Now, this is another challenge in our life. When everything becomes expensive, gas prices is going up high, thanks to the policy of the, I should not go into politics here. But everything is becoming expensive, everything is becoming tight. And most of the time, those who are actually feeling this situation more is the poor people, it's not the rich ones. And the poorer or the poorest of the poor would feel it tremendously. And this woman, who was a widow with one child, she felt at the end, I have nothing more left for me. I have a small little amount of flour and a small little amount of oil. I will just bake a little cake and I will eat it the last meal with my child. And then we pray and die. It's very hard feeling. We already feel hard and life is not really comfortable when we are lacking little things. We feel that it's a little expensive and then we become agitating and everything, I want to buy more but I can't. I want to get this and they are telling me, oh no, you can't do that. But this woman reached to the point where I eat this and die. What kind of a challenge that she has now? It's life. It's life and death. Do you think this woman could praise God and rejoice in her life at that moment? It's hard. It's hard in that. But this is a challenge. If you are able to pass it, if you are able to overcome it, you will rejoice and much more because you will realize who is the provider. He's the Jehovah God. He is the one who is providing. And the challenge more of this, are you able to give if someone is asking you for something and you need it? And then say, okay, I give. But I give from what I reserve. I give from what I don't need. Most of the people, now they are giving out of their leftover when they don't need it. Even if it's money, they count first how much I can provide for myself. And then I see the leftover and I give. Even if they put aside the tithes, and say, okay, this tithe, I give the tithe. But this is a little bit under the law, not the thing that makes you rejoice. If only you follow the law, it makes you feel like, I am okay. But if you give beyond the law, this is the grace of God in you, then it rejoices. Going back to this woman, and a man of God is knocking on her door, and someone called Elijah, and he's coming there and asking this woman for food. And this woman was just sitting, praying and saying, God, this is the last meal for me with my kid. And it's a hard feeling for a woman to see her kid dying in front of her eyes because there is no food. And then a man of God is coming and asking her for food. What is this? This woman crossed the line of herself and give with joy to the man of God, believing, trusting that he is the man of God, and God will bless her and bless her and her kids. And this is exactly what happened. God provided for this woman much more than she thought. The flower never ended and the oil never ended from her house, but much more of that, the joy that overcome her all her life, trusting that God is her provider and God is always there for her and no one else, no one can provide like him. We have to stay firm when God is providing. No one can take away. And you yourself, you need to rejoice with God's provision. And I want to tell you something. Most of us, we have plenty of things. We have a lot of things. And we are not yet enjoying and rejoicing in God's provision, because we always want more. We want more because we want more. We are not really satisfied with what we have. And we are not seeing God's life and God's love for us, that he will take care of us. This woman saw that. And this is exactly this. I tell you a story. It's very similar to this one. And that one is a real story that happened recently. Not a few centuries ago, but like a couple of decades ago. There was a young woman that came and she asked me, "What do you really think that we could see God?" This young lady could be 12 years old or something. I said to her, "Of course we can see God." She said, no, I really, I want to see him, really. Of course we can see him in the nature, we can see him, but I want to see him, I want to touch him, I want to, just to touch him. I want to see Jesus. I want to touch him. She said, I said to her, "Okay, of course you can, we can do everything in Christ. Everything you ask, and you believe, it's yours. Pray, and it will be given to you." This, I didn't know what I'm saying, actually. I just said that. But it's strange enough that this young lady, she went from my office straight to the church. It was on time. It was the church, empty, no one was there. She went straight to the icon of Christ, and she was praying straight to him. "Lord, I want to see you." I don't know how much she prayed, and I don't know how, what kind of a prayer she said. I don't know what kind of a feeling she had, but I know one thing, that Christ is faithful. And as she said, she saw the icon of Christ is moving, and Christ himself came out of the icon, and he took her by the hand, and he walked out with her, out of the church. And he went with her from alley to alley, small alley, and she was just like, didn't see anything except him. And she was feeling such a great joy. And at the end, she came to a door where Jesus went through the door, and she could not. She got a bang on her head. And then she woke up. What? I'm here. And Jesus went in there into this door. And she started to bang on the door. Open! Jesus was here with me. I want to see him. He went in. The door was open. And what was there? It was a very small place. Maybe a room 4x4 or less. It's a mat, a floor. And there was there a woman with 4 kids. And then the bird was shouting, Jesus was here. Where is he? And the woman was just telling her, this is all what we have. He must be in a corner here. He must be here. But where is he? And then the woman started to calm this girl a little bit. And she told her, tell me your story. And the girl started to say, I went and I was asking, I want to see Jesus. And I went to the church and I prayed. And he came out of the icon and he took me from the hand and he walked with me. So we came here. And the woman calmed this little girl and she started to tell her, also, I have a story. I was praying. I wanted to see Jesus as well. I wanted to see Jesus because here I have my kids and they were screaming, we wanted to eat. They needed food. And a mother could not help it. She was shy to go and beg for food. And she couldn't make it. And what she did instead, she was praying, I want to see you. And to convince her kids that she is cooking for them, she put the stove, the kerosene stove, the old style, she put it on and she brought a pot and filled water in it and told her kids, now I'm cooking for you. Sleep. And when I finish cooking, I wake you up to eat. She did that because she could not see her kids crying for food. So she made up this story. I cook for you and I wake you up. And while she is cooking, boiling the water, she's crying. The water is boiling. There is no food. The kids are sleeping, waiting for food. And then she's saying, Lord, I want to see you. This is the moment when this girl came knocking the door. This is the moment when the woman is crying, and I don't know, the tears of this woman, for me it was much hotter than the boiling water. And this is the moment when this girl is coming knocking on the door. Where is Jesus? I saw him coming in. The girl was from a rich family. She went back home and got some food for this little baby, young kids. God is providing. He is the provider. We enjoy and we rejoice in his provision. But we need to understand that what we have is much more. And it's extremely over our needs. But always we are putting our needs up higher and higher and higher because we are not content from inside. And whatever you will get, you will not satisfy. Because simply you need to be content from inside. And what kind of a joy that this little girl had. And this joy stayed with her. I think it will stay with her the rest of her life. This meeting with this woman has changed the life of this girl. And now she's caring very much for the poor, because she felt the joy in giving. She felt the joy in providing for others God's gifts. And this is a great joy that we need to see. Are we actually giving enough or not? I'm not saying that go and give, but give with joy. Give and thank God. And even thank for the things that you don't expect that people are supposed to do it for you. God is our provider, and we need to thank Him that He is providing for us. And because we are the image of God, we need to provide as well for other people. And when we give, it's joy. It's joy inside us. It's not only that you think that you give the tithe and this is enough. No. Go for the second mile. Go for the thing that you will really feel that it's a challenge for you. And this challenge you can conquer, and when you conquer the challenges, you will be able to face more and more of the joy that you will receive from God. Because it's always giving you much more than you think. You know, another thing that you will rejoice with is when you are able to see what the people are giving you yourself. And you are able to thank them for what they give. Even though you think that this is their responsibility. Sometimes we take it for granted that people are giving us because this is their responsibility. I tell you, just a small thought. Did you ever think to thank your mother that she was changing your diaper when you were a baby? It's crazy. Yes, I'm thinking crazy. But of course it's something that it's her responsibility, but it's something that you receive. And when you are able to thank for those things, you will be able to see other things and thank for it. And this is a training that you need to train yourself. See the small things that people are giving you, and you are receiving it for granted. Start from your parents, from your brothers and sisters, family, teachers, priests, church, deacons, schools, whatever. And when you are able to acknowledge that this is a gift was given to you, you will feel joyful as well when you are thanking them. And imagine you see the joy in the face of those people that you are thanking them. You yourself, you will be very happy because they are respecting it and enjoying it, and the joy will come to you. God is our provider, and God, He gives us grace, and this grace you need to train yourself to understand, and that you need to train yourself. And you need to train yourself for the thanking the others. Take another story. Are we running out of time, or do you have another story? You got another story? Okay. We take another story. When the people of Israel was leaving Egypt, and as they are traveling, they have seen a lot of the miracles that God has given them. Starting from the 10 plagues in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, feeding them in the desert, giving them manna, giving them water from the rock, walking with them all the time, with a pillar of fire, with a cloud. It's a great experience. I myself was longing to have this experience, and then I decided that I want to walk on the footsteps of Moses, and I see what that means. And I walked there. I walked myself in this desert and I wanted to see, what do I feel here? And I will tell you, you would really appreciate a small little fire when you are at night, because this fire gives you warmth, because it's very cold at night in the desert, but at the same time, it gives you a feeling of company. It gives you a feeling of this light, there is something around you. And you need it. As a human being, you need it, really. And imagine God is not giving them a small little fire, He's giving them a pillar of fire to light the whole area and to get them warm. And when you are walking in the daytime, there is nothing at all, no shade, and the sun is really strong. And all what you're longing for, just a little bit of shade, just a small little bit of shade. And God is giving them a deep cloud, walking with them all the time. So it's a great experience, actually. But when the people of Israel was walking with God all this way, with their experience, they didn't realize that. Unfortunately, what they are looking for is the land that gives milk and honey. And this is what they wanted. We want the milk and honey. These are the promises of God. Yes, God promised them that you will begin in a land that gives you milk and honey. And according to our human being ideas, I want to have a land where I could plant some wheat and plant clover, and then I raise cattle, and then I milk the cattle, and I get my milk, and then I make a beehive and take the honey from the bees, and then I mix them and then make a nice wafer with honey. It's a nice thing. You go to your kitchen and make a nice wafer with honey. It tastes nice. But God is not that way. God was giving them the manna, and it tastes like wafer with honey. But they didn't see it. They couldn't feel it. They couldn't appreciate it. And then they continue and go there, and just before they enter their promised land, Moses climbed over a small mountain. And when you are in on top of this mountain, actually, I went there and you could see the land. It's a beautiful, beautiful scenery. It's a really beautiful thing. When you are on top of this small mountain and then you see over the Jordan River and you see over all this land, and it's so beautiful. And then Moses said to himself, now we want to send people, we want to send spies to spy the land. So when we go there, we will see our way. So he has chosen 12 persons from each tribe. One from each tribe. Send them to spy the land. They came back with a report. And imagine you yourself was Moses. And Moses is sitting like this. And the 12 spies, they came and they are divided. Two of them are saying something, 10 of them is saying another thing. If you were with Moses, whom you would believe? The 10 or the 2? You're great, of course. And this is the problem, that the 2 were saying, we can, but the 10 was saying, no, we can't. We can't go to this land because we are little, they are strong. We are few in number, they are many. We looked at ourselves as grasshoppers and they looked at us as grasshoppers. They will smash us. A report is coming to Moses, 10%, this is an absolute majority. Imagine if we are in this era, 10 versus 2, in any committee, they win. In any elections, 80% or more than 80%, they win, absolutes. This is something, no discussions about it. But the other two were saying something completely different. Yes, they are many. Yes, they are stronger. Yes, the land is good, but we can do it. We are able. Why? Because we have God on our side. The ten persons, unfortunately, they didn't agree with the two, and they went against Moses, and you know what they did? They went to the people and fought against Moses. And they were able to make a revolution against Moses. And they revolted against him, and they appointed another leader instead of Moses to take them back to Egypt. Slavery. Imagine this was the end of a long story that started in Egypt. People have seen great miracles. People have seen great wonders. But it ends up, they have chosen another leader to go back to Egypt instead of Moses. These two persons, Caleb and Joshua. Their names. Caleb and Joshua were the only two persons that were able to enter the land, the promised land. They rejoiced because they understood the presence of God in their life and the promises is true. Most of the time, we want to intellectualize faith. We want to intellectualize our spirituality. And that means all the challenges that we are facing, we are counting it. And because we are not counting faith, then we are not sure of what we are doing. And that means most of the time you are facing this. It's a big challenge. Everybody's doing that, so it must be true. It must be right. No, not because everybody's doing it, it must be right. And this is the thing. Dare to be different and you will rejoice. Dare to say no and you will rejoice. Dare to understand the presence of God and you will rejoice. Dare to be yourself, you will rejoice. And then that is understanding the presence of God. Not because everybody is saying something that means it is right. The ten was saying the majority. And they fought against Moses and took everyone, revolt against him. They took them back to Egypt. They died in the desert. They died there. But they were wrong, even though they were the majority. They were wrong, even though it looked like it's reasonable what they are saying. But because they are missing the experience. And that is an important issue. Are you building spiritual experience? Are you collecting this experience for yourself to rejoice with it, to enjoy it? This is something that we are missing. Sometimes we are building up social experience or scientific experience or whatever kind of professional experience, but not actually spiritual experience. And this you need to realize, that you need to be present in the moment, in the now, to realize God's provision for you, God's gifts you, God's power for you, God's wisdom in your life, and that makes you much more understanding of who you are, and then you will rejoice in this moment, because you are building experience over an experience, and that makes you rejoice. So I want you to take these examples from the Bible, live it. It's now. It's the now. It is happening now. What are the challenges that faced Daniel? It's happening now. The challenges that faced Joshua and Caleb, it's now. The challenges that faced this woman, which unfortunately the Bible didn't mention her name, but it's still there, living with us. It is an experience that you need to collect. And when you are collecting this experience, you will find yourself content. You remind yourself, God who did that for me, he will do it now. And and you do it every day, then you are able to say, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And you are content, you are satisfied, you are at peace. And this is joy. And when you see God's glory, then you rejoice with Him. And then this is the joy that you will always have. May God bless you, shine on you, give you wisdom, give you blessings all your life, and glory be to God. Amen.
So we'd like to remember the beautiful spiritual thought. Thank you very much. Again, a round of applause.